together. Have you ever had just one of those weeks? I think you guys know the weeks that I'm talking about. I have a little dry erase marker calendar in my office. And I use a blue marker to write down the events kind of going on, things that we have scheduled, whether it be with the church, whether it be with Carolyn and I, because often I forget a lot of things that are going on, and so I have to go back to that. This week I looked at my calendar, and it's one of those weeks when the whiteboard calendar is more blue than it is white. And I know a lot of you moms out there, I remember looking at my mom's calendar, and she would have this, I mean, it was like this big of a calendar that she would flip through. And I remember looking at that, and like every day had something scribbled on it. Every day had four or five things that were written down, and I'd look at that and I'd think, man, life is crazy. And it's weeks like this week that remind me, yes, life is crazy sometimes. And some days I feel bad for you guys because you have to listen to me preach to myself. And so this week, for the next actually 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea of Sabbath. Sabbath is like this Christianese word that we find in the Bible that sounds really cool, that you can put on the slide, like it's fun to say. Like try it with Sabbath. Like it's awesome. But Sabbath simply means rest. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before you get like your nap eyes on, before I start to see the eyelids coming down and you're thinking about red, before all that happens, there's another word that as I was going through and preparing for this week that came to mind, and that word is oxymoron. And no, that doesn't have anything to do with what Carolyn called me. Oxymoron is a figure of speech in which apparently contradictory terms appear in conjunction. And you might be wondering why I'm talking about oxymoron. Because this idea of Sabbath, the first part of it that we're going to look at this week, is a little bit of an oxymoron. Some of my favorite oxymorons: jumbo shrimp, open secret, larger hat, clearly confused, act naturally, found missing, pretty ugly, same difference, almost exactly, constant variable, even odds, exact estimate, only choice, freezer burn, rolling, stop. That one the police don't like too well. But the question becomes, what is Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? The word Sabbath in and of itself, as we've already hit on just a little bit, it literally means rest. It means stop. To cease what you are doing. But the interesting part of this, that as it's passed down, put in place by God with his commands that he hands down to Moses, we see that this idea of Sabbath, this idea of rest, can almost turn into a little bit of an oxymoron. In Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 8, we see kind of our first time that this Sabbath is given like a concrete name. that's given this concrete idea, and it's given, we see it in the Ten Commandments. And as the Ten Commandments go, you start reading down it, and most of the Ten Commandments that we see a verse about it, and it's just, thou shalt not, blank. And then we move on to the next one. Commandment. Going on to the next. But then we get to the Sabbath commandment. In verse 8. And we see that in the Ten Commandments, as we know, the Sabbath is actually given the longest explanation. It's given four verses in and of itself just to explain this one idea. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This idea of the law of the Sabbath. This law that when we look at it, is given this long explanation and this idea of rest and this command to stop. To cease what you are doing. And I love this law. I love thinking about, okay, God is telling me I can take a rest. Like, it's nice to think that God is telling me, okay, you can stop everything. But I think what we sometimes look past, what I sometimes look past, is that when God is telling us to cease what you are doing, he's implying that you are doing something. Kind of obvious. But at the same time, we also look past it. One of the first things when God starts explaining this, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Okay, we got that. First thing he says after, 6 days you shall do labor and do your work. And so the oxymoron of the Sabbath, the idea of the Sabbath indicates that yes, we are doing something. We are doing something, we are working, and then we stop. We take a rest. We cease that which we are doing. This isn't just a small idea. You see, the idea of the Sabbath is repeated over and over in Old Testament law. Three chapters later, in chapter 23, we see it again. Then again in Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17, that time with severity, saying, if you do not do this, if you do not take the time to rest in God, you will die. Pretty heavy stuff. Another time in Exodus, it's mentioned at the beginning of chapter 35. In Leviticus, in chapter 25, we see that it even stretches to a whole year on every seventh year. And see it again with the most explanation of any of the Ten Commandments, again in the account of the Ten Commandments found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Throughout the first five books of the Bible, the part of the Bible which in Jesus' day and before, the people who taught God's word, the parts that they would memorize, put to heart, dwell on, in that over and over again, this idea of a Sabbath. Let's put it in place. Comes to make us think that we might want to pay attention to this idea of Sabbath. We might want to begin to study. Not only is it seen over and over again in the Old Testament law, but for God, it's also exemplified and designed in his creation. We're going to do a little Sunday school test here. And don't worry, the grades will be handed out. But I want to see a little bit of where we are today. So think back, open if you need to. It's really easy to find this story in the Bible. The story of creation. The account of creation. Day one, God did what? Created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said,
let there be light.
And there was light. Like Nate was in the back flipping on a switch or something. Day one, heavens and the earth, light. Day two, what did God do on day two? The sky. Day three, land and vegetation. Day four is earth. God created light, God created everything, and then all of a sudden, God creates, I heard it over here a little bit, the moon and the sky, the sun. He makes all this stuff that we think of as life. Let's see. Day five. Birds and the sea animals. You guys are doing great. You guys are doing great. You guys got it. Day six. Animals and mankind. And then day seven.
Football.
That's the answer. That's the answer. Day seven, God takes Sabbath. God rests. He stops what he is doing. We see this as a law, but we see it as a practice of God first. We see God working for 6 days, creating, developing all the world that we see around us. We see light. We see the waters. We see the land. We see the vegetation. We see the animals. We see us that God created. And then God takes a well-deserved rest. Not only did God rest, but he created into this world, into his creation, a design and an example for rest. For some reason, the lesson that stuck with me from the time that I was in FFA was on soil conservation. And the fact that fields literally need time. They need rest. They need changing from one crop to the other. They need beans one year, corn the other year. They need time to replenish the nutrients in the soil. We see it in Exodus chapter 23. God lays it out. He says it before FFA did, before the Department of Agriculture did. He already says, 6 years, sow your fields, harvest the crop. Do the work, but during the seventh year, let it lie. He's showing this idea that in creation, in what he designed, it needs rest. The human body needs rest. It needs sleep. 17 hours a day as a newborn. Babies are supposed to sleep. 8 to 11 hours for kids and teens. All the way to as adults, we still need 7 to 9 hours of sleep. How many of you have gotten that this week? Looks like we need some rest. God created and he designed us to need rest. Need rest in the busyness of life. In the work that he's created us for us to do. The interesting thing is that for most of the Old Testament, we don't really see much of the Sabbath law. We see a ton of other laws being broken. We see a lot of times where God is telling his people, hey, you're forgetting this law, you're breaking this law, you're not doing this law. We need you. You need to come back to me. You need to be doing these things. And the Sabbath law, I think, goes a little bit under the radar. But then all of a sudden we see one of the times that the Sabbath law is actually broken is a huge deal. It's a huge deal to people. Because the next time that we really see the Sabbath law come into play is when it's being broken, and it isn't just breaking the Sabbath. It was, in fact, Jesus and his disciples at Jesus' command and direction were the ones breaking the Sabbath. We see that it's a big deal because it's in 3 of the 4 gospel accounts. To them, it was pretty important, and it seemed a little unforgettable at the time to be thinking about Jesus seemingly breaking the Sabbath. And so, if you have your Bibles, keep your thumb in Exodus chapter 20, but flip on over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. And we see Jesus at this time. It says Jesus went throughout the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." They're pretty quick to point that out. He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or have you read in the law that the priest on the Sabbath day in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and are yet innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." You know, Jesus doesn't just stop there. He goes on. "From that place he went on into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Interesting. And using the weak. And they're using the hurt to try to bring in the charge against Jesus. He said to them, "If any of you have a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out and it was restored. Just a sign of God. But the Pharisees went out and plotted that they might kill Jesus. It's an interesting story laid out in Matthew. Tucked away in the 12th chapter, we see Jesus on this day of rest. The Lord's work. You know, I would think that if I was looking at this idea of Sabbath, somebody's breaking this law that says they have to work for 6 days and rest, I would think that it would more than likely be that on most of the 6 days, it would be that they're not doing anything and they're taking a little too much rest.
But for Jesus, he was working. He was doing what was right. He was doing what was good. We see that Jesus himself breaks the Sabbath. And looking at this, does this mean that Jesus just did away with the Sabbath? Does it mean that because Jesus came in, there's no longer this idea of rest that we were supposed to take? There's no longer this idea of taking time out and away? Does this mean that Jesus took away any observance of the old law so that we could just look past it? I want to remind us that Jesus said, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them. I've come to fulfill them." As one translation says, "I have come to give full meaning." So that's why we have to look at what God said. Because God's word never changes. We also have to look at what Christ and what he exemplified to see what we're looking at, to see these ideas of the Old Testament found in the freedom of Christ. So when we look at what Jesus is teaching and what Jesus is doing, based around this idea of the Sabbath, we take a look here. In other accounts of this run-in with the law that Jesus had, he states to the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." I say it again. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. When you look at the law, what do you see? And I'm not just talking about biblical law. When you look at laws, what do you see? Growing up, I saw laws against fireworks that just killed me. Now I see fireworks shot off in the neighborhood, and thank the Lord that it's only for a few days while I sit there and pray that one doesn't end up on my roof. I always thought the stop signs were just optional until I saw what a car wreck could do to a person. When I look at speed limit signs, I see a restriction. Until it's on a sharp curve on a country road. Then I see that I need to slow down and be safe. I think the Sabbath can look a lot like a speed limit sign in our lives. God didn't want to put a stop sign in front of us just so that we'd be frustrated with a day that we can't get anything done. Instead, God gave us a gift of rest. A Sabbath time is a chance to look back. It's a time to take the corner a little slower. Take the turn a little more reasonable. It's a time to trust him that he can provide for what needs to be done that day. It's a chance to take your hands off the wheel and allow God to show you. To be honest, for many of us, we need to know what that peace looks like. You see, it can be a Sabbath in the middle of the day, it can be a Sabbath at the end of the week, it may be a Sabbath at the end of the year. But God calls us and he commands us to rest. What it means to have his rest and what this Sabbath really looks like.
in its entirety, but let's not forget to get to rest. There's an expectation that you get to work. Every time the Sabbath is brought up in Old Testament law, it begins with, you will work. You will sow. You will labor. For 6 days, and on the seventh, Sabbath. You will plant for 6 years, on the seventh, Sabbath. The creation account, before God took a rest, he took on a big project for 6 days. He worked to create everything in the sea on the Sabbath. For Jesus, he was constantly and consistently doing his Father's work. That is what had the Pharisees scratching their head. To get to rest, we got to get to work. We can call the Sabbath an oxymoron. Are you ready to move? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to earn your rest? Are you ready for the Sabbath? You need to know today what it means both to work and what God is doing. Take his hand and walk with him. And if you need to know what it means to truly rest in God, hope that you will come up and talk to us. If you want to know more about what it means to make God the Lord and Savior of your life,